Hello, Webby.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good to chat. Before we get into other stuff, Rebecca Wilson's funeral today, mate.
Yeah, it's been a tough week. I was really close with Beck. It's, yeah, her funeral will be held at St Andrew's Cathedral in the city on the corner of Bathurst and George at 1:45 today. It's open to the public. So I know she divided opinion, Beck, but she received quite a lot of respect this week since her passing from cancer last Friday. She was very brave and very dignified the way she battled through it. I went and saw her a couple of days just before she passed away, managed to say goodbye. Yeah, so it's just been a really sort of sad week for a lot of people. So it'll be a good fond farewell this afternoon, and then many, many drinks in the fine tradition of journalism later today.
Yes, it will be a colourful celebration of a very, very life well lived by Rebecca Wilson. So thoughts and prayers there to Jim and also to John Hardigan and family and all friends there, and particularly Jim Wilson. Webby, another somber topic, really, unfortunately, mate. You were there on day one of this Philip Hughes inquest. We've been taking calls and emails and text messages. Why is this happening? Initially, it was thought it was at the request of the Hughes family. Now, you'll found out that is not the case, and this probably would have happened anyway. But my question to you is it more an inquest into the procedures that happened on that terrible day, or is it more about the game of cricket?
Look, I've been listening to... I was there on the first day. We had a court reporter and Chris Barrett, our main cricket reporter, who I think is going to be joining you guys throughout the summer, which is a great addition to the Big Sports Breakfast team. He's very knowledgeable, the great Baz. So they've been there for the rest of it, but I was there for all of day one, and it was very, very confronting, boys. It's, I think what people need to understand is that, you know, one, the family didn't request it. I know that there's been a belief in cricket circles for some time that the family have been pushing this and lashing out and looking for answers, and that they're also looking for further compensation on top of the payout that they've already received in terms of insurance and superannuation and a full year's salary that Phil was due to earn from cricket. They're looking for more compensation. Now, I've been assured in no uncertain terms by someone very close to that family that's been there with them from every single second of that inquest and also throughout this whole ordeal ever since Philip died that day at the Sydney Cricket Ground, that is not the case, that they are not looking for extra money. This has got nothing to do with actually them. They're not the ones that have pushed for the inquest. Now, I know a family can have a lot of say on whether an inquest goes ahead or not.
Okay.
As I understand it, this comes from the coroner's office itself, because I was like everyone else who's been calling in and been saying that this week, that I thought this was being driven by the family. Now, this is what's happened. The family have been interviewed 1 month after Philip Hughes died. They heard a lot of things, including the alleged Doug Bollinger sledge that was set on the field that night at the Sydney Cricket Ground after Philip died. So that's been given in police statements a month after Philip's died. None of the players were interviewed until a couple of months ago, which I find extraordinary in itself. So the only reason why all this stuff is coming up in an inquest this week is because it was put in a police statement by Jason Hughes and the family and their concerns about short-pitched bowling way back then, a month after Philip had died. So this hasn't been some witch hunt that's being driven by the family. I have to admit, that's exactly how I thought it was. And there's a lot of people in cricket who think it's the case. But when you sit in that inquest like I did on Monday and you see what's going on, and there's obvious that there's two sort of lines of questioning going. There's one about procedures, medical procedures, about what could have been done better by the cricket ground or by cricket, and definitely by the ambulance service, because it took three phone calls for an ambulance to arrive and then an hour before we got to St Vincent's Hospital after the incident. And another one about the nature of play. Now, Christina Stern, who is the counsel assisting the inquiry, sorry, it's not an inquiry, the inquest, has said that, you know, it's inevitable that Philip would have died no matter what, you know, after being struck by, you know, a freak incident on a cricket field. I know there's a lot of anger about why cricketers are being asked these questions, and I sat there and I watched poor old Brad Haddin, who's a friend of this show and a friend of ours, and saw the way that he was basically cross-examined about tactics and what happened 2 years ago And it was really hard to watch. And I walked out at lunch and I said to one of the veteran court reporters, Candace Sutton, who has been around for 30 years, and I said, she goes, what do you think? And I said, this is wrong. I said, this is rubbish. I said, this is the cut and thrust of the game of cricket. And she said, darling, this is an inquest. This is what happens. Someone's died in a very public way, and this is what happens. This is an inquest is to try and come, you know, work out if exactly what's happened on that day. So I heard a caller earlier in the show, boys, say, you know, what are they trying to get out of this? That's not how it works. You're not trying to, you don't go in with the preconceived outcome. We'll find out by the end of the month when the coroner gives his findings. But I just think that this is the ugly pain that everyone's going to have to go through, particularly those cricketers and particularly the Hughes family, as a consequence of an inquest. And they're not pretty things, and that's just what's sort of been playing out this week.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, mate. Desi, is he going to stay at the Doggies?
Desmond, that's an interesting. I agree. I'd love to be a fly on the wall, Terry, at 4 p.m. Oh,
I reckon,
God.
Desi, don't worry, he'll be a formidable foe in there.
When isn't he? When isn't he?
Well, that's so, exactly. Look, right.
So this is. I find it. It's a stalemate. So Des has probably got a year to run. He's on about $1.2 million. Des, as we all know, is very, very careful with his money. When he was a player at Manly, there's a great story about when he was running up the Brookvale Oval tunnel at halftime, spotted a 50-cent piece, stopped, went back and picked it up. So Des is very, very careful with his money. That said, so is Ray Dibb, the chairman of the Bulldogs. And now I know he's come out today and pledged support for Des. I can see Des definitely wanting out because he's been told who his coaching staff's got to be, and they're trying to put stipulations on if he's going to get he's got to finish in the top four, if he's going to get a 2-year contract extension, and you know he's got Steve Mortimer and directors coming out, and there's directors on that board who do not want him. I've been talking to them all year. They don't want Des there beyond 2017, maybe not even for 2017. So can you honestly see the Bulldogs paying $1.2 million for Des not to be there? It's not going to happen.
No.
It is not going to happen. But can you see Des taking anything less than 1.2 to leave? It's not going to happen. So no. It's. I honestly don't think anything will be resolved today, to be honest.
No.
Very ugly.
And he's
very
not
ugly.
Going to be accepting clauses in his contract about performance, particularly when, in a way, you're crippling the coach. You're crippling the head coach, in my opinion, when you take away his staff and you want to appoint your own staff.
But it's very that's exactly right, Terry. But it's very poisonous.
Like of course it is.
Talking to people in the club there yesterday, it's they don't know how it's tenable. I don't know how it's tenable either. So I don't know how they get around the money and the fact that the relationship between Des and some members of the board isn't that great. So,
well, the strange one for me is, and Slats and I have discussed this, Steve Mortimer. There's no more famous a Bulldog, and there's no better bloke than Turvey. Very unlike him, mate. Be so forthright, you know. It's like basically saying it's he or me. It's Des, Hasler or me from the Bulldog fraternity.
I thought it was extraordinary. You know, Turvey said those comments in our paper, the Herald, during the week, and you know I picked it up and I went, whoa. I have never recall a board member being so public in their condemnation of a coach.
Yeah.
Like that is really heavy stuff, and aside from all those theatrics, as I said, I wrote a column in March this year saying that Des was under pressure because there were board members who it's been reported were very, very jittery about what their return was on a huge football department spend. Des has 10 cameras at training. 10 cameras at training. The Gold Coast Titans use their social media guy to hold a video. That's how, you know, that's the difference between the two clubs. And they're seeing the way that the Dogs have played this year. It's been there for all of us to see. I know they've made 2 grand finals, but that club counts its success in terms of premierships. And, you know, they haven't won one, you know, under Des and don't look like doing it next year either. So, I don't know. It's going to be a very, very interesting meeting this afternoon. I can't see. I think they're in a really ugly stalemate, and it's going to go on all summer.
Oh, interesting. Now, this book, Pumper. We had him on the other day. Good job, mate. It looked fantastic.
Thank you. I heard Pumper talk. It was a great exercise writing that book with Pump. It's funny. I approached him 3 years ago, or I did a story on him 3 years ago around the Caulfield Cup when he had Hawkspur, which was one of the favourites. And I remember after interviewing him one day at Warwick Farm, I went, you know what, I want to do that guy's book. And I saw him at the just minutes before the Melbourne Cup later that year. And he didn't have a ride in the cup for a change. And I said, Pump, I want to do your book. And he goes, I need three people to die before we can do it. Well, so mate, a couple of those people have passed away. But there's some really interesting stuff. He talks about his relationship with Tony Mockbell. Some very pointed comments about Chris Waller. And there's transcripts from the Jockey Tapes inquiry back in the mid-90s that have never been seen before. And I've managed to get my hands on those. So it's a really interesting read from Pumper. He's just gone no stone unturned. So go and buy it and then I can retire.
Good on you, mate. Well done. It's a terrific book, Pumper, Jimmy Cassidy by Andrew Webster. Good on you, Webby.
And thanks, boys.
We do thank you for your time.